We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Thank you very much, everyone, for helping us to share the success of entrepreneurship over the last year. And our next guest, Michael Phelan of Go to Market. I like that name. So how do we go to market?
So my company is called Go to Market Pros, and I formed it about 3 years ago. I'd made some observations. My background is both sales and marketing with companies like Reebok and Staples, but more recently with a lot of high-tech, fast-growing SaaS companies. And one thing I realized was that marketing and sales was becoming increasingly specialized. So what was missing was the strategy. How do you launch these products? How do you develop these new markets? So I formed the company to do that. So what I do is help companies go into markets they've never been in before, launch products that are very different for them, target different customers. So that was the origin of Go to Market Pros.
Interesting. You mentioned the SaaS market. That's a complicated market. Can you talk to us a little bit about it? What makes it unique?
Yeah, SaaS is very interesting. So SaaS is basically monthly fees that you pay for a service, oftentimes in the cloud and technology in the cloud. So think about SaaS models as Carbonite here in Boston is a SaaS model. You pay to have them back up your computer. A lot of marketing and sales technology now is SaaS-based. Companies can scale up or down based on the number of licenses. They're only paying for what they use. And these kind of companies, they focus on what's called MRR, or monthly recurring revenue. Their customers don't have to buy specialized software. They don't have to have it on-prem. It's always kept up to date in the cloud. So it's a huge trend both in B2B and B2C to have SaaS-based business models.
I talked a little bit about your background, but, you know, I do a lot of consulting. But SaaS is, fairly specialized, at least nowadays. What's your career history? Where'd you get your start?
Yeah, so I grew up in Dublin, Ireland, and I did my undergrad.
That's a high-tech hotbed.
It is.
Actually, it is, right?
It really is. It really is. It's one of the fastest-growing entrepreneurial countries in the world now, and they've done a tremendous job of working with the EC and expanding into the EC.
Ireland and Israel.
There you go. Absolutely.
I know. People don't always expect those two.
Yeah. So I did my undergrad at Trinity College in Dublin and the land of saints and scholars, and came over here. My family business was Polaroid in Ireland. So I came over here, spent some time with Polaroid, learned the business, and then went on to Reebok and Staples. But for the past 10 years or so, I've been pretty much exclusively focused on SaaS. I started working with AT&T on a very successful SaaS program that they launched out to the SMB market, which was called AT&T Tech 360. And in essence, what AT&T were doing was giving the enterprise level of remote tech service to SMBs that never had that before. So they take over your computer remotely, or your server or your network, 24/7 US-based labor, and they'll fix whatever you need. You could talk to them live on the phone. And for a world that had offshored technology to very poor outsourced providers, SMBs loved the fact that they had US-based support 24/7 when they needed it. So that was a very successful model. Hundreds of thousands of SMBs ended up buying that program. So that was my first big program on SaaS.
Interesting. I drifted on some of those companies you worked with. You know, very different Polaroid versus Reebok, isn't it? The two environments?
Night and day.
Polaroid was really, it was an innovative technology type of business. I think of Reebok as a fashion company.
Yes. Yeah. It, the funny part about it is the person with the most patents in the United States is Edison, and the second most patents was Land, the founder of Polaroid. So
I knew that about Edison because I read his biography.
Oh, there you go.
I just was actually quoting him 2 days ago in a lunch I had. I was talking to somebody who was changing their career.
Yeah. And it's funny, when I was at Polaroid, I did work with a series of folks on a medical patent, and we filed a patent. And the interesting thing is the lawyers come around and give you $1 to buy the patent off you. I was like thinking, maybe they should give you $10. Maybe you could buy a burger or something. But they give you $1 to buy the patent off you in these bigger companies. Reebok was completely different. It was founder-led. It was a lot more of a tribal culture. It was kind of a crazy place to work, but I enjoyed it a lot. I headed up their youth business there, and we launched a product called Trekstar, which was the first computerized shoe in the world that would tell kids how fast they would run and how high they would jump. And it ended up outselling Nike 3-1, which is pretty good since we had about 10% market share and Nike had 70.
This was when Reebok was more aggressive in the shoe business?
Yes. Yes. Right. They subsequently got bought by Adidas, and they've had some ups and downs throughout that process. Some good years, some bad years. They just recently shut down their Canton facility, and they're moving into Boston now.
I love that Canton facility. I thought it was beautiful. I was there many times.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
facility.
Campus.
Yeah, and you can run through the building, and they encourage you to exercise throughout the day.
So is that building going to be sold to somebody else?
It is the biggest piece of land that Canton has, and so the top priority for the town of Canton is to get it developed. The dilemma is all of the action's moving into Boston, and all of the tech companies are moving into Boston. It's very hard now to get somebody to establish headquarters out on 128 anywhere, because the coders, the next generation of workforce.
They want to be in the city.
They want to be in the city.
They're young, urban kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They think Canton is like, you know, an overnight trip.
But again, I'll say that facility was quite unique, and either you've got to have a desire to have such a large facility because it has what I would call athletic component to the facility, or you're going to have to just tear it down and start over again.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful facility. I could see someone totally falling in love with it. Just, it's very impressive.
I'd like to buy it, but I have no need for it. if I had a consulting firm of 1,000 people, which I never would want, I'd rather shoot myself in the head. That would be a great location for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. The other area of my business I work on a lot is helping companies figure out how to use social networks and social selling. I just recently wrote a blog about, you know, why is it that your top 10 prospects are completely ignoring you? And it's created quite a little bit of a buzz. And there are a lot of reasons
for that. I like it. Can we go over a little bit of that orally now?
Sure, sure. If you look at the area of marketing technology alone, there are about 5,000 companies in the United States that sell marketing technology to retailers. Each one of them have at least 5 or 10 reps. So think about 25,000 to 50,000 reps targeting Walmart and Target, and trying to get in front of the marketing executives there to have them evaluate their technology. So the odds are against them. And a lot of times they set up very junior folks to reach out to very senior folks, and they're not really adding enough value. They don't understand Target's business enough. They can't add value to what their major issues are. So they're banging away on social media, but in the end of the day, Target is not going to engage with some brand new rep that's been in the job for 3 months that knows absolutely nothing about its business or its pains or its challenges. So I think that the approach is wrong in many ways. The person approaching them is wrong. The topic they're approaching them is wrong. And they're not adding enough value, or they're not proving enough value for somebody like a Target to jump on the phone with them and have a meeting.
Interesting. Do you see a lot of changes going on in the SaaS market in the next year or so? I mean, it's always been quite a hectic market.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest change I would see going on in the SaaS market is the evolution of customer success. It used to be where, I remember I worked for one SaaS company and a CEO who shall, a CFO who shall remain nameless said to me, "This is the best business model in the world. We sell this service and nobody uses it. We have no costs." And I said to him as CMO of the company, "It's not good if customers are not using your product." And he goes, "Who cares?" But our partners, AT&T, cared because AT&T wanted them to get value from the product. So I worked hard to drive activation up. I worked hard to drive retention up. So what's happening in SaaS-based companies is the clients are saying, "Well, we don't want to pay for it if people are not using it." And we don't want to pay for it if people are not gaining value from it. If it's not doing what we want it to do, we're going to cancel. So it's not just enough to sell the SaaS license. You really have to work immediately after the sale to have people see value, gain value, engage with the product. If you take apps that you download to your phone, if you don't use them in the first 24 hours, you're likely not to use them at all. If you don't use them three times in the first week, you're probably going to delete the app.
I agree with you. I feel it's like music in the 60s. You'd get the single, you'd play it a lot the first few weeks, and then you'd go on and buy the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I think of apps no different than that old music industry. You're going to play with it for a while, and then you're going to get bored with it, move on to the next one.
True. Very true.
Interesting talking to you, Michael. If somebody wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
So they can email me at michael@gotomarketpros, G-O-T-O, market, M-A-R-K-E-T, pros, P-R-O-S, or they can go to my website at gotomarketpros and find out more about me. I'm also on LinkedIn at Michael Phelan, P-H-E-L-A-N, and happy to connect with folks. I do share a lot of content on sales and marketing best practices, so even if you just want to connect and follow me, it would be helpful.
Well, maybe we can post some of your stuff too. You'll speak to Alex before you go. We'd like to do that.
Excellent.
I hope you come back again. We're going to take a break. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we will be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.